Good morning, Barbara. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Barbara Jean. I'm honored to be asked.
So what is economic insecurity?
I define economic security for elders as having enough income to meet their basic needs and to live with dignity and to remain in their own home. And I'm defining economic security because then by contrast, and I will contrast it in a minute, I think it's clear then you can see what economic insecurity is. And as a backdrop, in 1948, a brand new United Nations adopted the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And I would hope that every legislator at the state and federal level would have this emblazoned on their wall in front of their desk. And here's what it says. Everyone has the right to a standard of living adequate for the health and well-being of himself and his family, including food, clothing, housing, medical care, and necessary social services, and the right to security in the event of unemployment, sickness, disability, widowhood, old age, or other lack of livelihood in circumstances beyond his control. So then if we look at what are the factors that give a person economic security, especially an older person, a stable, decent income. If you lose your job, unemployment insurance, and the prospect of employability, that you get another job, affordable health care and health insurance, secure savings, pensions, no big increases in the cost of living, and your home keeps its value, your home being your biggest personal possession. So with that in mind, we can just contrast the economic situation of seniors today. Now, a third of all seniors, and I'm talking age 65 and older here, a third of all seniors in the United States rely upon Social Security for 90% or more of their income. But Social Security is not being increased with the cost of living. The age for Social Security eligibility is being raised. It's 66 now. It's going to 67 soon. At the federal level, they're talking about increasing it even more. And raising it is really tough on seniors who are either in physically demanding jobs or who are unable to keep or to gain employment. There's a bias in our society against hiring older workers. Retirement savings have been just decimated by the stock market. Most of us lost about 30% of our retirement investments in the recession that started in 2007. Many seniors don't have pensions, and others have pensions that aren't being honored. And in fact, there's a bill at the state level that's been introduced by Representative Mark Biskins, who's a Republican from Jordan, that wants to summarily end all public employee pensions starting this July. So those public employees that are near retirement who have relied upon the fact that they were going to have pensions under this bill suddenly would only have the money they put in their pensions. Nothing that was contributed by the state. We've got big increases in cost of living. Homes have lost a great deal of their value. Medicare is in danger of going to a voucher system, and we can talk about that later. And social support systems that help seniors stay in their homes versus going to a nursing home are in danger of drastic cuts at the state level. These systems are called elderly waiver and alternative care programs, and they give support like respite care if you're doing caregiving of a senior who's disabled or home health care. And then there are drastic cuts being proposed in senior nutrition programs and Meals on Wheels, and that helps seniors stay in their homes. And renter's credit, which is a tax refund for those who have low incomes, that's being threatened with drastic cuts, and property tax is going way, way up. So many, many seniors in Minnesota and in the whole nation, they're just one event away from economic ruin, maybe one lost job, one health problem, one rent hike, one major house repair, one government service cut, one property tax hike, and that's economic insecurity.
Barbara, is the problem worse now for seniors than it has been in the past?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the worst it's been since before the New Deal reforms of the 1930s. And, you know, it's the worst because of both the income side of the equation for seniors and the expense side. On the income side, as I said, Social Security isn't keeping up with the cost of living. There is something called the Elder Index, and that is the true cost of living on a bare-bones budget for older Americans. It was developed by WOW, W-O-W, which is Wider Opportunities for Women. And the Elder Index, the true cost of a bare-bones living of a single older Minnesotan, is $19,090. And you contrast that the average Minnesota woman's Social Security is $11,233, and the average man's is $15,202. And then, again, on the income side, many older Americans, especially women, don't have pensions. As I said, also individual retirement savings have been decimated. Many have seen them lose 30% or more of their value, and that's bad enough if you're young enough to keep your money in the market until it recovers, but it's a crisis if it happens when you're at or near retirement. And then, like other Americans, many older people have lost jobs in the recession, but data show that those who are 55 and older who do lose their jobs stay unemployed longer than younger people. For example, last year in 2010, 55 and older people were unemployed for an average of 35 plus weeks. If you were 16 to 24, it was 23 weeks. And if you were 25 to 54, it was a little over 30 weeks. Yeah. On the expense side, gas is going out, utilities, food, health care, property tax. And then you plug in that social supports are either have been decimated or are in great danger of being decimated. And those are, as I talked about, there's elderly waiver and alternative care that give you support so you can stay in your home, renter's credit, Social Security. And this comes this Medicare voucher proposal, which Congressman Paul Ryan, who's from Wisconsin, has proposed at the federal level. And the proposal would give seniors, instead of Medicare, would give them an $8,000 annual voucher for health costs. And then seniors would go out on the market and try to get an insurer to give them coverage for that. And President Obama, I think day before yesterday, said that that means that many, many seniors would probably end up having to pay $6,000 additional out of pocket. And I know from my own experience, and I'm healthy, but I have a pre-existing condition, and that's exactly my situation. It cost me $14,000 a year. And so a Medicare voucher system could be very costly for seniors.
You've been collecting stories from seniors. What are some of the things folks are saying?
Oh, gosh, there have been amazing stories. And anybody can go on that. Eldernomics is a joint collaboration. It's national, but in Minnesota, it's two nonprofits, Mature Voices of Minnesota and the Minnesota Women's Consortium. And any of your listeners can go onto the Minnesota Women's Consortium website and link to some of these videos. But let me tell you just three real briefly. There's Betty, and she lives in Pennsylvania. She's 98, and she worked to age 89, now lives on a fixed income of $1,354 a month, and this comes totally from Social Security. After rent and health insurance, she has $62 a month left over for everything else, but she's so dear. I mean, she's really, pretty, you know, dressed to the nines and really, really astute mentally and quite healthy. And she says, you know, what hurts the most is I've spent my whole life giving to others and I don't have enough money to do anything for others now. Another story is Andre, and he's about 60 years old. He lives in Chicago. You just love Andre. He was a salesman, owned a home. His children are grown and married. And then he got sick. He lost his job and couldn't make his house payments, so his home was foreclosed on, and he was suddenly homeless. And he was too embarrassed to tell his children and to ask his children for help. So he was living in his car. And Cheryl lives in St. Paul. She's 60. And about eight years ago, she left her six-figure corporate job to care for her parents and her husband's parents, who were quite elderly and had some sudden health problems. And she is in a 24/7, 365-day-a-year job, but she cares for them with grace, humor, and love. Her story about economic security is that her parents and in-laws, even though they have very, very modest assets, they're still above really low incomes for assistance in caregiving. So they were taking a real hit financially.
Why should people take an interest or care about this issue, in your opinion?
Well, you know, one thing, and there's Andre, the person in Chicago I just talked about, the one who was living in his car, said it in the video. He said, you know, there are just too many of us. You've got to pay attention. You know, and it is true. There, you know, you've probably heard ad nauseum about us baby boomers, but there, in the nation, there are 79.6 million baby boomers, and they're the people who were born between 1946 and 64. So the first of us are turning 64 or 65 this year. In Minnesota, to give you an idea of how many boomers there are and how much of an impact it can have on the state, in 2005, those 65 and over were 12% of the population. In 20 years, when all the boomers are old, almost 22% will be over 65. And the population of Minnesota women alone, who are 65 older, last year were 382,000. That will double in the next 20 years. So there's just a lot of us. And if we are economically insecure, first of all, it's a societal disaster. But also, it's a tremendous drain on social services. So it will also be an economic disaster for the state and the nation.
What should be done to address the problems of economic security for elderly people?
Yeah, lots of things. And you know, with all the, you know, the hard budget cuts that have to be made, and we have to empathize and sympathize with our lawmakers because they don't have a happy job. But most of the things I'm going to say are don't do this, don't do that. But I'll start with a do, and it's to employers. And to employers, I ask them to open their minds to hiring older workers, and not just in low perfunctory positions. Honor the education, experience, skill, and wisdom of older workers, because many, many older people want and need to work. Now, going to some of the don'ts. Don't increase the age for Social Security eligibility. Don't go to a Medicare voucher system. Don't drastically cut the renter's credit. Don't cut these elderly waiver and alternative care, which are these support systems so that older people can still live at home instead of going to the nursing homes. And it's so much more expensive to be in the nursing home than to live at home. Don't cut money for senior nutrition grants, the Meals on Wheels. Again, that helps older people stay in their homes instead of having to go to a nursing home. Preserve public employees' pensions. Work for affordable health care for all, including lowering the cost for prescription drugs. And then there's sort of a last category of what can be done, and this is preventive. And it's preventing poverty among the future elderly. So that means helping the younger Americans by treating them fairly economically. And things you can do there are keep pay equity for women. There are a number of bills that have been introduced at the state level that would repeal the state pay equity law that says women should be paid a comparable wage if they do work that's comparable to men. You know, if women aren't paid fairly, if they're paid lower, that is going to dog them till they die. Not only won't they have a fair wage today, but their raises, which are based on a percentage of wages, will be low. Their Social Security will be lower than it should be. Their pensions will be lower, and therefore they will suffer when they're older. Also, give younger people affordable health care so that they don't have to spend all their money on health care. They can save money for retirement. Protect the pensions of younger employees. Treat public employees fairly and pay people a living wage.
Well, we've been speaking with Barbara Batiste. She's with Eldernomics Minnesota. They are working on a national advocacy campaign that uses video to allow older adults to tell their stories. For more information about the One Away video campaign, go to oneaway.org. Thanks so much for being with us this morning, Barbara.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Barbara Jane.